Welcome, sports fans. This is the Wehmo Sports Show coming to you live from Club County on ESPN 94.5 FM. I am your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Josh, what's going on?
Ken, how are you? Just got back from a week-long work conference in Vegas, our yearly thing. So just got back in late last night.
What exactly occurs? You're a sports writer. What exactly occurs at a week-long conference for your work?
Well, more than you might realize, Ken, because we have all kinds of first of all, with the overturn on the national gambling ban, whatever, that creates all kinds of marketing opportunities, right?
Okay.
So there's places that wouldn't otherwise want to do stuff with mainstream media, and so now you
with
see these partnerships.
Line.
Right. So basically, we're there. We had a series of meetings. But we had them last year, too, because we've always done fantasy football with various partners, things like that. But we're there to have meetings to explore marketing and partnership opportunities with various sports books, things like that. So, for instance, we want to be the official odds provider of Sportsline, that sort of thing. And we have things where we do mutual coverage of each other's events, things like that. So we explored those partnerships, but then on top of that, like I said, we have employees spread out nationwide, so it's also a thing where we do a lot of just staff planning and things of that nature, a lot of, where do our, web hits and our subscriptions stack up against the competition, how do we improve, a lot of, in-staff type of stuff, but a lot of it was, it's Vegas-based because of that, because we do a lot of business around town.
Did you do any research at the Spearmint Rhino or Cheetahs?
No.
John, how are you?
I'm good. I'm... That's good. That's a valid question. How many states are actually active now?
Well, that's a good question. That is a good question. I think that I don't actually know the answer to that because I know they picked up Josh. How many
Jeez.
Are there now? Probably
some are hitting
five,
the ground running,
six,
but not
seven,
a whole lot.
About eight,
right? Like I say, New Jersey. There's some that were just Delaware. The ones that were waiting in the wings for just the ink to dry, and just a couple of them back east that you're well aware of.
You don't think Montana's in a big
hurry?
Well,
I was to say some of them that already, like Oregon, was already exempt, like Nevada was from that constitutional ban. So some of them were just either starting up, some of them were increasing what they already had. But I think there are others that never did it before, or just sort of taking that wait and see approach and deciding how they're going to do something. But Colorado as well. Because they're always big. They had a big presence with the casinos in the hills and everything, so they're going to start doing it. So it won't take long before it really catches on.
Yeah, gotcha.
Absolutely. It's going to be crazy. Everybody wants to try to fast-track it to get the NFL season, get in before the NFL season. You're leaving a lot of money, on the table if you can't get in through this year's NFL. But and it's amazing, the articles in the store and the bets that I've seen that are back east. There's some massive parlays coming through William Hill.
It's hilarious. See him on William Hill social media feed. We were doing $10,000 four teamer.
Yeah, $10,000 four teamer. $10,000 five teamer. And they're hitting, John. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Nick McDonavich, the lead trader out at William Hill yet, and exactly gauge what his feel is on it. He said, he also said that they bet the Giants, the Jets, the Yankees, the Mets. They just bet religiously on those teams. Absolutely religiously.
On them, not
on them. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They bet on the Mets.
Yes.
That's not a wise plan.
You kind of look at it. I don't know. I mean,
the best pitcher in baseball can't get a win until this week.
The other day, they finally did.
I mean, that's rough. Jacob DeGrom is the leading example of what I've been preaching for years, that never look at a pitcher's wins when you're trying to determine
I'm just saying,
their value.
Right, I understand that.
I'm not saying
it doesn't mean nothing. Right. I'm just saying, but it is hilarious, though. He's like 6-6 with a 1.25. He's going to set like an ERA record.
It's unbelievable.
And they never, they lose his games 1-0 like all the time. It's hilarious. They don't score for him until the Reds the other day. But I just think, to me, it's a barometer like anything else. To me, it's also one of those things, if you do end up losing 20, that can't be ignored either, right? I mean, you can't say all of them were unlucky.
I mean, it's not meaningless. It's just you cannot determine a pitcher's value with a win-loss record at all. It can be a factor. It can be factor number 10. I'm fine with that.
Right.
But it's look at everything else before you get to wins. Don't look at a guy and say, oh, he's 10-10. He's average. No.
From the average, person voting for the Cy Young, what should be the most important record? Just the whip, ERA?
Whip, not ERA, not even ERA, the whip, the FIP, the XFIP, which is basically...
What is XFIP?
It's your innings pitched versus, there's an expectancy there on how hard a ball's hit off you.
Right.
There's all kinds of different...
Hard contact.
There's hard contact, there's a whole formula that I'm not smart enough to get into, but it's stuff like that.
Is this stuff ruining baseball?
I don't think it's ruining baseball, but
I'm over it, though.
The Jason Worth rant, I understand where he's coming from with that, but it's I don't think it's ruining. I think it's important to really dig into the numbers and see what's what. You can't just say, oh, that guy's a 300 hitter. He's a great hitter. No, that's not how that works. He's got 100 RBIs. Great. So that means
a lot of people got on base before
him. Exactly right. So he's been put in this situation a million times.
Yeah.
Saves, stuff like that. These counting stats that, yeah, they look good and everything, but that you can't determine a player's value just through that alone.
Wow. Crazy stuff. We're going to get into baseball a little bit later, you know, because as we're winding down, it's amazing. I mean, we're almost headed to the playoffs. I mean, how many games have been played? Almost 120 games? You know, it's only about 42 games left for a lot of teams. Crazy stuff. So, football last night, Josh and John. I mean, let's kind of just look and see what we got going last night. I want to kind of get your guys' opinions. Did anything just stick out to you guys? A couple things that I was really wanting to see. I wanted to see Andrew Luck play, you know, and find out, you know, if he was going to take the field. And, you know, for a whole year last year, we went through the whole, you know, he's right there, he's right there, he's right there. He's throwing a football, but not a real football. And here we are, you know, with, you know, preseason, week one, he was on the field. He was 6 for 9 with 64 yards. They ended up beating the Seahawks, you know, 19-17. And actually, you know, Seattle was the one team that, you know, it seems like through years past, they always want to get the victory in the preseason. They were one of the teams to bet on, you know, in the preseason. But they actually ended up losing last night, 19-17. But, you know, with that being said, you know, it's kind of a positive, you know, outlook. And Josh and John, if Andrew Luck is healthy, how does that shake up that division a little bit?
You know, it's hard to say, Kim, because one – You wonder, you know, will he really be able to withstand the whole 16-game schedule and be his usual self? But even if so, do they have the weapons around him to, you know, really do something? And the biggest thing, the Colts actually had, you know, in his absence, they got competitive. They figured some things out, you know, on offense. Brissett played okay sometimes. Their biggest thing was defense, though, Ken. They were one of the you know, worst teams in the NFL on the defensive side. So even though I think the replacement, bringing in Frank Reich, is a great idea, you know, for the offense. He'll probably get that part of it going. But if you even just assumed right now Luck stays healthy, upright, all 16, I'm not sure the Colts are very good. But we'll see.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I'm trying to think of the weapons around him, but I can't come up with much. I'm a fan of Andrew Luck. I hope he's healthy and continues his career and does well. But, I mean, that division is now, with the Jaguars, the Titans improving, that's – Texans, obviously, I think they're in fourth place regardless.
You know, I'm looking at their season win total. I'm going to pull up what the current is right now. We were talking about it last week, and I thought it was kind of a low number. You know, 6-6. They were 4-12 last year without Andrew Luck. 4-12, and their season win total is 6 now with Andrew Luck. If you get a healthy,
too much, man.
You think 6 is too much, John?
That division is
brutal
defensively.
Titans and the Texans.
Those are good teams.
But you don't think that
Jaguars are an elite, not quite an elite team. I wouldn't say elite. They're on the cusp of being elite. The Texans, if Watson is healthy, I think are a 9-win team. And the Titans can win 10 games. I think that's really tough for the Colts to win 7 games.
Let's look at what's occurred since last week, since before we saw Andrew Luck play. And this is the reason we talk about these. I know that we talk a lot about these win totals and things that we like, and we talk about them a few weeks out. And sometimes people just kind of go, why are they talking about this? But this Colts win total, Josh and John, is a prime example. Last week, I told you guys I liked it over. It was 6. 6. It's already up to 6.5, and the over is minus 165. So since last week, it's went up half a game. And you have to lay 65, Josh. 65. That's like it might as well be 7.5.
Yeah, especially, again, like I said, when you see the price on any of those go above 150, it tells you it's, you know, beyond lopsided the action. And most of these, I saw some, that was another interesting thing, too, to see, you know, in Vegas, too, how all the numbers moved at various sportsbooks. But there are some that aren't afraid to, you know, to move that number like a spread, you know, somewhat regularly, and some just sort of hammer the price. I've seen William Hill, by and large, seems to, you know, just charge more on the heavy side, but, you know, it's one of those things. If the price is any indication, that's where they're leaning for sure.
And there's a lot of these that have moved, too. You know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, about the Cowboys. Everybody has an opinion on the Cowboys. I look at the Cowboys' win total in this division. It's 8-flat. Last year, they were 9-7. So, you know, they're saying, you know, the first line.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Johnson's exactly right. Ezekiel Elliott, he was suspended last year for 6 games, and this team won 9 games. They're going to get him for a full season, and you get 1 game less. I mean, the Cowboys went, and I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'll be the first to bet against the Cowboys in certain situations.
Sure.
Absolutely. But I look at this and I'm going, you know, the Eagles, they've got gutted. They lost a lot of players from last year's team. And then you've got the Giants and the Redskins, the same thing. This division, the Cowboys, in my opinion, guys, are the second best team in this division.
And a horrible, horrible blow to the Redskins today.
Darius Geis,
man, that's
awful. The preliminary indications were it was a sprain. Yeah. Then they came back and said it was torn. So their running back, their rookie running back that was going to lead the team in rushes,
who fell into their lap, completely underdrafted. Not
even a vicious hit, just a couple of guys, you know, on a tackle pulling him down. You know, not even wasn't even a
besides
hit.
Willis McGahee in the national championship. How many ACLs have you seen really torn on a vicious hit? It's always
it's freaky stuff. Yeah. Dalvin Cook last year. Yeah. You look at things like that.
Yeah.
But getting back to the win totals, guys, and I want you guys' honest opinion here. I mean, I can't bet it now. You know, I kind of slept a little bit, and I'm gonna take the Cowboys because I don't think the Cowboys are gonna go 7-9.
No,
I think at least I was looking at an 8-8 season.
Absolutely.
And I was looking at a push. But you know, now it's 8 minus 175. Unless
that's
something
rough.
Weird happens. But the problem is whatever's gonna be weird. It's probably going to back me off. I wouldn't bet the Cowboys over if something weird was to happen.
I still don't have complete belief in Dak. I don't know about you, Josh, but year three is when you should start to see the fruits of this, and I don't know if I'm quite there yet.
Yeah, well, it's hard to say, John, because last year they, you know, were up and down, and Dak definitely seemed to have, you know, a bit of that sophomore jinx or whatever, but a lot of it wasn't his fault.
And he's got to play better too.
Right,
he didn't play great last year.
Right.
He's a lot better quarterback.
I don't know how the passing game gets better losing Jason Witten and Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant, John, or Witten, I kind of tend to agree with, but Dez,
regardless of what he is, he's still a phenomenal receiver.
Agreed, but he's a prima donna, and I think he caused too much disruption on that.
Every one of them is.
He caused too much to me.
So as Ken mentioned, though, the Elliott suspension, you realize, you know, yeah, he was out 6. They lost the first 3 of that, and all 3 by blowout. So it means they didn't address it all.
Yeah.
We saw what part of the issue was, though. They abandoned the run, like, completely, which seemed odd, because even though they have good backup running backs, right, they still had Alfred Morris, guys with solid NFL pedigrees, they abandoned it, and then teams figured out what was going on. They realized, you know, Prescott loves the short intermediate routes. He starts, you know, stacking the line of scrimmage, daring him to throw deep. And then finally, Dallas, again, after 3 losses, they adjusted, started running it more, a little more balance. And toward the end of the year, I felt like your Prescott actually came on a little bit. It was a little bit alarming, but still, you know, despite all those obstacles, 9-7, yeah, they lose Witten and everybody, but could they just kind of duplicate 9-7 with a little improvement? For sure, but Ken, one thing I saw, and you mentioned, you know, that flat 8, such a thick price, now you got to lay off it, but that's one thing I saw some various books in Vegas. Most of them were carrying an 8.5 with -110 both ways. Like, you'd like the Cowboys to duplicate the 9-7. I would do that and take the reduced price, because you're right, that's just way too much to, you know, to salvage a push on 8. That's too big of a price to pay. I'd rather risk it and lose on 8. But you're right, I mean, with Jason Witten, because, you know, they're in tough shape at tight end, and, you know, Tony Romo, too, loved the safety net of those tight ends, right?
Yeah.
Now it's like Rico Gathers, the former Baylor basketball player. I mean, the guys they have trying out for tight end aren't exactly, you know, of the highest, you know, NFL pedigree. So it makes you worried a little bit. But I think, you know, some of the other guys, some of the other receivers, you know, that they picked up.
Alan Hurns.
Hurns specifically fits into that short and intermediate routes that they like. So that, and
Gallup,
Prescott throws
and
a lot.
Gallup.
I think this is a big year for the Cowboys. Jason Garrett in particular.
Oh, and the linebacker, by the way, too, Jalen Smith. They should be much better on defense.
Let's hope so. That's the thing. They need to stop the pass a little bit as well. But I think this is a big year. For Jason Garrett.
I have to agree.
I'm a fan of Jason Garrett.
I agree. I was looking at the Dallas future to win the division. They're and I thought, you know what, I might bet this, and then it was 3-1. 3-1. What does that tell you?
Three to one is to
win the division.
I think the Eagles are just light years ahead right now.
Maybe. I mean,
I really do.
John, but I mean these teams, it's so tough. It's so tough to duplicate. I mean, what about the Browns? What did you guys see from the Browns last night? You know, their win total is still at 5.5. It did go from -130 to -150. So, you know, Baker played pretty well. But the first guy, Tater, that came in, I thought he played really well.
He's a good quarterback.
And that's the thing. He's even said it remains to be seen, right? All this hype surrounding Mayfield. He was the number one, and he looked pretty good last night. And now a lot of people are speculating if, you know, if he plays so well, there's no way you keep him off the field. But the whole reason they acquired Taylor was to have sort of that immediate, you know, stopgap quarterback. They wanted a veteran with some success on his record to come in and hopefully, you know, them avoid going winless. Last year seemed like kind of a disaster. You drafted and started a guy who was probably overdrafted to begin with, Kaiser. You stuck him in there, he wasn't ready, and then, you know, things went downhill the rest of the way. So they want to start with a proven veteran to go along with all the, you know, other guys they've acquired through free agency and two recently, you know, loaded and solid drafts. And for him to lead the way, now it's looking like, you know, the guy you brought in for, you know, veteran leadership and all that for probably a couple years, now what are you going to do? You're really going to ask him to sit? But if you've heard any recent interviews with Taylor, he's like, yeah, they brought me in to start. It's my team. But, you know, we'll see what happens. So I don't know whether there'd be such an outcry from Mayfield that they have to get him in.
I think that that's the right decision. I don't know.
Do you think
last week I actually had the opposite opinion of this, but I think that's the right decision. You don't need to have Baker Mayfield start right away. If he forces the issue, great.
Don't they open up with Pittsburgh?
Yeah, they're in Cleveland. They play Pittsburgh. I said in Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
Yeah,
yes. So I don't know if you want to throw your hothead axe to grind quarterback in against your big brothers right away.
Or do you?
Well, run the Wildcat like the Dolphins. Play them both. Split one out, just completely confused.
Oh, you know he's going
to
see
the field. Mayfield's
a good
athlete. Both guys could split out.
That game scares the living hell out of me.
Real quick, one more win total before we go to our first commercial break. The Bills. You know, I was looking at the Bills last week were 6.5, and the over was -125. The Bills are 6 now, so it's moved to half a point, and the under's -145.
Yeah, everyone.
So
Bills under was a huge, heavy play.
But it moved half a point, Josh, yeah. and you immediately got taxed on the under.
Right. So it would be like the point spread changing, you know, from -3.5 to -3, -140. It's like the spread went down and you get charged more.
Yeah.
That's not good. But I just know from every, you know, everything I've seen, that was a big wise guy position was Bills under, and clearly it's been hit hard. I don't know, though. Again, you can't tell a whole lot, but I saw their game, parts of it, their preseason highlights against the Panthers. And it looks like, you know, there's a chance they may not be as bad as everyone thinks. But, you know, we'll see. But A.J. McCarron is, you know, he's the veteran they signed to go along with, you know, Peterman, who was horrible, you know, last year in drafting Josh Allen. And if McCarron, you know, he's that guy who always thought, you know, he should be given a chance to start sort of career, you know, backup to Andy Dalton. See what he can do under center. But it looks like they might not be bad on the defensive side.
So if the stupid Bengals got their paperwork in on time at the trade deadline last year, A.J. McCarron would be their starting quarterback. I wonder what the Browns would have done in this draft. It's so weird that you just can't put your paperwork in.
Absolutely.
Oh, we made a trade. We're not going to tell anybody.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I mean, it's crazy stuff. Yeah. It's about
10 years
Ricky
from now.
Fowler. I heard an interview with Ricky Fowler today, and it was funny. So
yeah.
With that being said, let's head off to our first commercial break. But we'll continue lots of football, lots of stuff going on in sports. We'll get to a lot of it. This is Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with John the Hawk Stevens and Josh Nagel from Sportsline, talking a little bit about NFL win totals. So, Josh, I know you do a lot of homework. We're going to talk about the Raiders and the Niners real quick. I kind of want to get you guys' opinion on that. But Raiders' first preseason game would be a little bit later tonight, 7:30, I believe, is the kickoff. Niners already have the one game under the belt where they came back and beat Dallas last night, 24-21, you know, on a 50-second 70-yard drive. And, you know, I like what I saw from the Dallas defense going into that, you know. So Dallas kind of pretty much dominated the game, in my opinion, up until the last couple of possessions. But, you know, and it's preseason. But with that being said, Josh, are there any totals that you want to put on the table right now and talk about?
Sure. And by the way, the Cowboys' backups were better than I thought. I mean, Cooper Rush and Mike White.
But, I was, you know, texting a buddy last
yeah.
night. And did you see how many on defense, how many balls they tipped at the line?
A lot.
And I think there might be a big emphasis on Dallas getting their hands up there this year and tipping balls at the line. Even the commentators were talking about how many times the defensive line was getting their hands up and on batted balls.
Yep, and they picked off a few also because of that. But Ken, you know, to your point, I think one I've mentioned, William Hill still has the right price on this one, but I saw an even better deal at some sports books. But I'm all about the Browns under, because as improved as they might be, I still think it's really ambitious to go from 0-6 in a season, which they'd have to do to clip that. William Hill still has under 5.5 for +130. Some other books have a full 6 for -130 on the under. So it's like you'll pay juice to buy that extra half game or whatever. But I had a colleague who actually liked my idea. He fired pretty big on you know, the six, and he paid the juice. But I said, you know, it's one to me, that's the safety net that you don't even really need. I don't think you're worrying about a push. I really don't. Yeah. Hey, 6-10, I'll go ahead and just tip my hat and say, you know, they beat me. I'll take my chances with
straight
that.
Up.
To that big a close, you know, with that nice plus money, you know, incentive there, Ken, 5-11 and you cash, and I think 5-11 would be a success for them. I like that one a lot. And another one,
the under's minus 130 now, Josh.
For Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland. Last week it was 5.5, and the over was minus 130. It's actually moved 20 cents.
Wow.
So right now Cleveland's 5.5, over's minus 150, so you can actually get a plus 130 on
right.
the under 5.5.
Right, that's what I'm saying. William Hill's 5.5 is plus. The other places are minus for 6.
I think they win three division games. I don't know where or what. I'm thinking sweeping the Bengals, then one against either the Ravens or Steelers.
I don't know about that. I don't know about sweeping that Cincinnati team. I don't know about that.
I think they're going to be horrible.
Wow. Anyways, Josh, go ahead.
Well, we'll see. And then, Ken, one other one. I'm just curious, you know, what your thoughts are. I think I've thrown this out there before, but I've a couple weeks ago released, you know, my official, you know, favorite season win totals on Sportsline. A couple guys I work with, you know, were talking about, but one guy in particular knows his NFL. He was stunned. I like the over on the Raiders. I thought, man, I thought you weren't a Raiders guy. You really think John Gruden's going to make that big of a difference? I said, you know, it's not just necessarily him, but as the case I've made before, it's not too far removed. 2 years ago, 12-4, you know, with more or less the same personnel. Derek Carr, injuries and a lot of close losses last year, 6-10. I said, Gruden splits that difference, and it's 9-7. And he's by far the best coach in that division. I think, you know, Andy Reid's, I think, making a mistake with Mahomes. Like, what's there not to like about that? But on my side, it's kind of interesting, though, because he said he heard from a few of our guys who are really good, like R.J. White, who's a top 10 finisher in the Super Contest. Apparently, he, you know, hates the pick and stuff. But when we had our big gathering of, like, contributors and things, you know, Kenny White, his famous Vegas odds maker, used to run Las Vegas Sports Consultants. We were talking about, and he loves it, too. He's on my side. So, like, well, there's some support for it. But I just think that, to me, you're free-rolling at 8-flat. I think 8-8's the worst they do. I think 9-7 is, you know, easy pickings for John Gruden.
It appears that all four teams are within that 7-9 to 9-7 range, but I have a suspicion one of them is going to break from the pack.
Right, which one is it? You think it's the Chargers?
But it wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if it's the Broncos or the Raiders. I don't think the Chiefs are there. I'd eliminate them.
Right, see, there's the one I count out. I would, too.
I would count out the Chiefs. But if you get something out of Case Keenum and the Broncos play that Bronco defense, I think they're in business.
Yeah, go to the Raiders, John. What you said? I think somebody said if they didn't bring John Gruden in here to go 8-8.
That's right.
I mean, it's 6-10. I think you said that last week, John. Team was 6-10 last week. Last year without Carr, Derek Carr is. Go back to 2 years ago, guys, and I absolutely agree with what you're saying, Josh. Is that 2 years ago this team was a 10-11-12 win team? I mean, I look at the Raiders and I can't.
I'm all in on Derek Carr.
I am too, and I can't make a case for betting them going 7-9. I cannot make that case. I can make a lot better case at 8-8 and 9-7 and even 10-6, Josh. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Josh. I think that if Carr is healthy, we'll find out tonight. You know, I want to see some of these quarterbacks play. You know, I wanted to see Deshaun Watson play. He took the field. I wanted to see Andrew Luck, and it's on my list right now of things to talk about because the Raiders kick off a little bit later tonight. We'll get into that game. But if he's healthy, that team is tough.
Yeah, and Ken, between now and then, also pay linebacker Khalil Mack what he wants. You have to have him on the field too. There's a bit of a bad optics there to pay $100 million to the coach, which is what they gave Gruden.
Yeah.
$100 million man, and they won't pay, you know, one of the best linebackers. He wants a guaranteed 22 or something. But to me, Khalil Mack's the kind of guy who, as NFL rookie contracts are structured, he's the guy you rip one up for. He's outperforming. Yeah, and you give him the money in his prime right now. And if he's the standard bearer for how you pay linebackers, so be it. But if I'm John Gruden and whoever's, you know, opening their checkbook now, it's like, please do what you need to. Get him on the field.
Couldn't agree more.
Let's look at a cross comparison right here, guys. We're talking a little bit about the 49ers and their win total. You know, Garoppolo comes in last year. They finished the year strong. And, you know, I like a lot what I'm seeing in San Francisco. But, you know, you come from the Niners being a 6-10 team last year. Let's just jack that price up three wins and go to a nine.
Yeah, that's crazy, Ken. Whew. Again, that's another one, by the way. I've seen a lot of books adjust to an 8.5, so the 9 isn't so juiced. And I like it. Again, I like the price break. So, again, I'd go, you know, I'd rather jump on the 8.5 and pay less for the under because I still don't think they're winning 9. It's a nice insurance policy.
The Rams are 9.5 because they're winning 13 games.
We'll look at the Rams. I'll look at that in just a second. But my question to you guys is if the Niners played the Raiders on a neutral, what's the line?
Right now, jeez. I think it's about pick 'em.
Wow,
I would think
so.
Niners two
on a neutral. You think so? Niners two.
You play the game in Kansas City.
Neutral, yeah.
Well, that's not neutral for the Raiders.
Exactly. Neutral.
Houston or something? Yeah, or
Dallas, I don't know.
Exactly. Well, that would be neutral.
The Georgia Dome. That would be neutral. Away from all their fans.
Well, Falcons fans. You play it in Nova Scotia.
Right. Okay.
But I don't know. The people are really, really high on this Niner team.
Yeah, but are they, John? Or is it West Coast bias?
Is there a West Coast bias?
For the Niners, there is.
Odds makers.
Or is it a recency bias more than anything? So
it's
remember what you saw
bias.
Last year.
It's also, if the Rams are a half game,
yeah.
They're 9.5, and
yes.
That team is leaps and bounds better than the 49ers.
Rams are 9.5. Rams are 9.5.
What is going on with that?
9.5.
They're just trying to get these knucklehead Niner fans to hammer.
They are.
Oh, my God.
You look at this, it's 9.5. I mean, I'm not by any means. I like the Niners right now more than I've liked them my entire life, just because I like the rebuilding. I like, you know, what they're doing. I like the players. I like the hard-nosed approach. I do like a lot of
it's my favorite uniforms in football, but I hate the Niners.
But the Rams, 9.5?
Oh, man.
You're telling me the Rams.
That team's winning 11 games minimum.
One game better. Half a game better. So all of a sudden, because Gropp comes in and goes 6-10, that they're going to be – half a game worse than the Rams.
I need to look at this Rams schedule a little more in depth, I guess.
Josh, give me an opinion on this.
They must have the 85 Bears and the 78 Steelers on this thing.
I'll look it up right now.
How are they only 9.5?
Well, here's the thing. I've noticed a trend. Because I've written several season win total pieces and dug into the history on it, Ken. And it's one of the things that you see repeatedly is that on the elite teams, the teams that you expect to be competing for their conference championships, so you always see your Patriots, your Steelers, the top of the line. For some reason, even this year, the Philadelphia Eagles, they're super conservative in setting those numbers. And I did the research. I want to support this, you know, because I was asked for your opinion on the Patriots. It's sitting there at 11. I understand they've lost 70% of their offensive production. John, this decade, the Patriots have not had fewer than 12 wins in a season,
yes,
and their number's 11.
I thought you were going to say 13.
It started 10.5. Lowest is 12, right? Wow. So that's in their off years. And they open up the number at 10.5, 11. Like, well, so you need to see. But to me, that's similar to Alabama. They win 11 games a year, and their number is 10.5, right?
Yes.
So it's one of those things of what evidence you need to know. I mean, the Patriots someday, I guess, are going to win 9 games.
Not this year.
Right, one of these days. But so they always started low. And Ken, I feel the same way about the Eagles, although I will say they have absolutely brutal schedule out of division. I mean, they're like at Jacksonville and the Rams. I mean, they're going to make the Eagles earn it. Having said that, they're 10.5 with the NFL champions that I think should be better.
Okay.
Is 11-5. That hard to fathom.
All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about the Niners, and let's talk about these 9 wins or where these 9 wins are going to come from. They open up, John, at Minnesota. At Minnesota.
Right, they're 5.5 point dog on week 1.
Then they play at Kansas City, or then they play Detroit.
All right.
At Kansas City, at the Chargers.
Toss up.
At Green Bay. This is their road schedule. I mean, I'm looking at this just – yeah, exactly. I mean, at Green Bay, at San Diego, at Kansas City, it's just crazy. I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm going, where's the 10th win going to come to beat me? I mean, I'm looking at – what game are they going to be decisive favorites in? They play Detroit at home.
That's not decisive.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There you go, Josh. Thanks. They play Arizona at home. I don't know, probably going to be a small favorite there. But
there'll be a – decent-sized favorite against Chicago at home on December 23rd.
In week 16.
I said the Niners might be -6.5 in that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look at their schedule, and I'm going, how are they going to get to 10 wins? I mean, I'm looking to take my pocketbook and taking all that poker money I won the other night and just saying, you know what?
Let me ask you this, Ken. When you see prices
I'm not
like
giving that,
that
much money.
Some people don't mind a good money line favorite, like if it's -250, if they really like it, go ahead and pay the juice, whatever. But when it comes to this specific thing, season win total, in the amount of time you have to have your money locked up in it, are you comfortable, paying a -160, whatever, if you like it that way?
I've never bought into the – listen, you shouldn't be betting money that you don't have. And if I have –
Now you tell me.
Well, but my point is that if you like it and you have to tie it up for 16 weeks, well, what's the big deal? I mean,
The price just being kind of scalped out. I mean, that just doesn't bother you, or
I see what you're saying.
Like, oh man, I'm getting the absolute worst of it with the price.
No, I see what you're saying right there. I do see what you're saying. You know, does it? Yeah, eventually, they bet you out of the opportunity to bet it. Right. You know, but you know, but I'm looking at this, you know, and I'm looking at the Rams right now, John. You know, their last two games, the Rams' last two games are Arizona and San Francisco. I mean, if you're betting the Rams, they should have nine games going into week 16.
Yeah, and you know what, Ken, yeah. It would be cool if the sportsbooks did this instead of just offering the static number. Maybe they would create too much exposure if they did this, but I'd love it if you could buy a half to improve your price. Like if you want to say, you know,
on the win totals,
right? Forget the Niners at nine. Go ahead and give me 8.5 under for, you know, -110. You gotta give yourself a price break, but I doubt they'd let that happen. But
absolutely crazy, you know, looking at these win totals, you know, and this is the reason we, you know, spent the last 4 weeks when they first came out getting people's opinion on them, trying to encourage the listeners to get out there and, you know, pull up some of these schedules. You know, look at last year's. You know, I have my sheet right here. You know, I gave you guys this sheet about 4 weeks ago, guys, and it's where the win totals opened up at, the prices and what the teams were last year. You know, and there's such huge moves on these things right now. I mean, you know, not just on the overs, but on the unders. You know, and there's going to be overreaction after week one. Look at these. You're going to have a chance to weigh in again after next week, because week two of the NFL preseason, you're going to see a little bit more starter action. You'll see the starters play a little bit more, and then a little bit more in week three, and then generally week four is just you're auditioning just to make your roster in week four, in the fourth preseason game.
Right, and you're right. Third tends to be the one they consider like the real, you know, audition in terms
of dress rehearsal.
Right, where it's like, hey, that's going to be close to what we're putting out there for at least a half. Maybe some teams do it well into the third quarter, so that's the closest thing to a real game. But it's funny you mentioned that, Ken, because I did some digging myself today just to see, you know, based on what little we saw last night, was there going to be some huge, you know, steam on the Browns over whatever, but that just remained the same. I still think it's crazy that the over's favored on that one. But some of the other ones were just, or the Giants, where you saw some decent performances. You know, they're 7.5, and you realize they're starting over again. I mean, they fired McAdoo last year. Their numbers. Oh, what's William Hill, by the way? Are they 7 or 7.5?
Well, they were the San Francisco or
New York Giants.
Well, they were 6.5 because I have it. Okay. I have it on the sheet. But you know, I had this game circled, right. I wanted to talk about that real quick.
But everyone, I feel like, you know, there's a pretty strong sentiment for that one going over. And here's the thing, yeah, the offense should be in way better shape. You draft Barkley, you get all your receivers back, and they should be all right. But Ken, 31st ranked defense in the league, that's not going to be fixed overnight. They didn't do a whole lot to address it.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, the Giants are going to do better when it comes to scoring with opponents. They're going to get scored on a lot.
Especially in that division.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the Giants win total right here. I'm having trouble finding it, but Seattle.
I think it was 5.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's 5.5 right here. I was seeing, or 6.5, John.
Oh, six and a half. Okay.
Yep. I'm trying to see what it adjusted to after. Here it is, right here. It is still at 7, and the over's -130.
Seven?
Listen, everybody's talking about Barkley yesterday, and what a good
one game fewer than the Cowboys.
John, he had one rush for 39 yards, and then he finished, I think, five rushes for 43 yards. Uh-huh. So he averaged one yard a rush on his other five touches, had one rush for 39 yards. So don't be so quick. And I still saw no protection on the offensive line, from the offensive line. This Giants team, you can't fix the offense and the defense all in 1 year. They were terrible on both sides of the ball last year.
Yep.
Josh?
Yeah, and that's one of those things, like I said, people don't realize, too. Another change of coaching, Pat Shurmur is in there. And he might be a decent head coach. People don't even realize this. You know, he was with the Browns a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he's one of the many guys I think they kicked out early. We were talking about that at one of our, you know, luncheons, and people say, oh, the Browns just can't do anything right. And I thought one of the big things was instability. They had a couple candidates who did really well. I thought Shurmur was one of them. Mike Pettine was the other.
Yeah.
The guy they just fired before Hugh Jackson. He took them to 8-8 in his second season. They were on the way up. And you can them and you go 1-31 over 2 years. But they
1-31.
Yeah, in a 2 year span. So you have another new coach, you'll get Eli's getting up there in, you know, sort of his twilight years of his career. I think Barkley will be fine, but it's one of those things too where, you know, I did a similar thing with Leonard Fournette. And it turns out he's a fine NFL running back, so you never know. But the better defenses Penn State played last year, you got to be aware. Teams that sort of decided here, they're going to, you know, stack the line of scrimmage and see if Penn State could beat you other ways that they could. But I'm talking about like Iowa, Michigan. Some teams set down Saquon Barkley pretty good. I mean, he had some pretty bad games, so it's not like
that's
you know, he was unstoppable.
So with this one performance, the Giants went from 6.5 to 7 over -130. That's huge. Half a game plus tax the over. So, all right, let's head off for our next commercial break. This is the Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagle from Sportsline. Make sure you like Josh's stuff at Sportsline. Josh, you got a lot of articles out there right now?
I do, Ken. Like I said, we're loading up on all the football stuff, anything you can imagine. I've been college pro, but baseball, golf as well. We're hitting that pretty busy time of the year.
All right, good deal. Let's. I want to talk about one more win total that we've been preaching about, and University of Nevada Wolfpack.
Heard of them?
Yep, 5.5, guys. It opened at 5.5, or it actually opened at 5. I told you guys I liked over 5. Then it went to 5.5. You know, so I bet it. Got a little cashola on it, and it's up to 5.5. And the over is -135 now. I mean, it's the everybody's coming in trying to bet in the Pac North.
Yeah.
Josh?
Ken,
I know you don't like it.
I don't like it. I said I think it's a fair number. It remains to be seen. I think the Wolfpack has some favorable, scheduling, especially early on. Like, for instance, I mean, they just have to take care of games like Oregon State. You don't want to take it for granted, though, right? Like last year, you would have thought the same thing. Take for granted that you're going to beat your FTA.
Portland State.
Right. No, but Oregon State, too. I'm saying they've got to beat, one of the worst Power 5 teams in the country.
The only win that Oregon State had last year was Portland State.
Yes, and that was almost an overtime. It was barely. But Oregon State, for what it's worth, they also almost beat Stanford. They were right there. They probably should have won a few. But they have a huge rebuilding project on their hands. Now, I'm saying with the Wolfpack's sort of historically erratic results against inferior opponents, I just think it's a fair number. But as I've said before, I would take the over in the sense that I do believe probably worst-case scenario, you're looking at having to win against UNLV on the final day to get there. And if that's the case, you got plenty of equity to begin with.
Yeah.
So I like the over. I'm just not – I'm not wild about it.
I think I've talked John, the Hawk Stevens, into being very happy about betting it over.
I am, but I can also see 3 wins. I can see 8 wins. And I can see 3 wins,
wow,
depending on how things break. It's just until we see this, I think they're going to be much improved, especially on the offensive end. I said that they're going to average over 35 points a game, I think. In the 37, 38 points a game range. Now it's keeping the opposing under 40. Is that possible?
It is, and let's talk about one more thing, guys. One more thing. We keep talking about the team. Let's not forget that the coaching staff. They were first time head coaches last year too. A lot of these guys,
mm-hmm.
OCDs, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. Mummy, North,
except for Castile.
You see what I'm saying. It's so they've learned too, guys. I mean, they've recognized the fact that they only weigh 250 across the defensive line. Main focus: let's get bigger on the defensive line. The average weight's going to be 288. That's big. Moving Malik to back out to linebacker,
yeah,
and going out and getting some other players. So my point is that the coaching staff's going to get better too.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Ken. I want to say one thing that I think was kind of a stand-up, aspect of Jay Norvell's season last year is I heard him say late in the year, especially when they had a little success, things were looking so gloomy early. There was even some whispers of, could they go winless? That game against Hawaii was just huge. All right, you got that out of the way. Then, of course, Nevada broke through and looked a lot better the rest of the way with a couple real good, of those near misses that they should have had. But one thing I really appreciate that he said later in the season, reflecting back, he said, I think you're right from the start. We had such a game plan in mind, what we wanted to do schematically with our philosophies, that we really tried, too hard to fit the personnel to what we wanted to do instead of vice versa. It's like we tried so hard to cram, and there's some, there's holdovers, people who might not fit what you're trying to do. But we really tried to get everyone, to play a style that might not have been best suited for them. And when all else failed, they literally said, let's play to our strengths. Let's look to get people in positions to do what they do well with the skills we do have. And maybe later on, if we keep recruiting down the road, we'll get everything we envision in place. But let's just play to our strengths now. And so that's what I think ultimately led to them coming full circle, with Ty Gangi at quarterback, but also boiling things down into a somewhat more simpler approach. If you go back and look, it kind of does look like they were shooting for everything at once, because look at how quickly they switched quarterbacks, right, multiple times, and things went downhill. Morale seemed kind of low. I think it takes you would hope coaches would do that from the start. A lot of them will, we have to play with our personnel and find the best fit there. But there are a lot who don't. There are a lot who just go in and want to do it their way. And you see, especially when they take over a program, that can lead to some disarray.
And with the crew of running backs that they do have and the new redshirt rule about you can play in 4 games, and he said they're going to play everybody. So that means that Tawa and Devontae Lee are going to have some time in the backfield regardless going forward. It's up to the union. If the union, which is the offensive line, is adequate to excellent, this team is just going to be a nightmare to defend, an absolute nightmare. With their quick strike ability, they had more Kenny, what was it? There's a stat. They had more 40-plus yard plays than, yeah. I don't know what it was. It was, yeah. They had a lot. We'll just put it that way.
Explosive offense. And they're getting better. I mean, new system.
Getting better. The receiving core is disgusting.
Well, listen, we were indecisive about our quarterback last year until, yeah. You know, he lost three or four starts. But when he came in and actually got the snaps against game pace defenses, Ganji did fine.
Yes.
Mannix, freshman All-American. You know, we got more Kelton coming back who we didn't know about him until what? When did he start developing?
A while, yeah.
You know, and then what about Orange? O'Leary Orange. I mean, there's just so much talent on that field.
And we get Caleb Fossum back who had his injury last year and you know, Washington State recruit who knows this offense in and out. That receiving core is going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem.
Did you see the
opposition?
The wide receiver that played Elijah Cooks, right?
Yeah.
Did you see his catch that they're touting in the
no.
that he made? It's incredible. I mean, he went up. It was like an Odell Beckham one hand fade pattern where he just jumped over the defense. You know, and I'm just so much high praise. You know,
and that's the thing is you can, for better or worse, you knew. From the jump, what you're getting from every Chris Ault team, you knew exactly what games they were going to win. You knew exactly what games they were going to lose, Boise and Fresno. But when you get to Polian, it was kind of the same thing. You knew which ones, for better or worse. Now with Norvell and this offense and the air raid, the pack attack, whatever you want to call it, Airwolf, you don't really know what's going to happen. And it's really exciting to me.
Very exciting. Absolutely, I'm very excited, John. You know, and tomorrow we have where's my notes? It's called Wolfpack Fan Fest. You know, at 10 o'clock, and you know they have fans can come out tomorrow and they can watch the scrimmage. They have a bunch of gear. You know, now that we went from Nike to Adidas, that you know there's supposed to be a bunch of gear. They're going to be up for sale. You can meet the players, watch the practice. You know, trying to get the fan base. You know. Engaged. Football's 3 weeks away, guys. I mean, seriously, it's 3 weeks away.
That's amazing. John,
isn't it amazing? I mean, I'm fired up. What do you make? Let's talk about it real quick. You know, what do you make the opening line in Portland against Portland State? I know that last year, you know, I don't know. Last year we opened.
This team was winless.
Yeah.
We are not, the Wolfpack are not.
After last year's opening game loss, this game is not sneaking up on him.
The Northwestern was the opening game.
No.
Pissed it away in the fourth quarter. Then Idaho State was the next game.
Excuse me.
They're not going to let that happen.
No, I agree.
I promise you they're not going to let that happen. And they're going to let it all hang out with Vanderbilt on deck, which we will be in attendance. So let me brag a little bit for once. I think that we lay half a hundred on them in three quarters.
I think so, too. I really do, John.
Yeah.
And I love the idea. Real quick, Josh and John, we got enough time to talk about it. What do you think about the rule where you can red shirt rule now?
It's great.
Where you can actually get some of these guys to come in and take some snaps and see what you got before you decide whether or not you want to red shirt them. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah,
I really do.
I do too, Ken. You know what? I think it's a four game thing too, right?
Yes.
They can play it up to four and still save the red shirt. I think it's awesome because sometimes you see it work the other way around. Like for instance, example comes straight to mind. A few years ago, a guy who's on the Steelers now, it was Mason Rudolph. It was crazy because Oklahoma State was bad. They had a couple quarterbacks that were just bad, a couple others that were injured, and they were just in bad shape. They had this five-star prospect, Mason Rudolph, sitting there. He's supposed to be a redshirt freshman. They don't know what to do. Oklahoma State struggled. So Gundy goes to the kid and goes, hey, whatever you want to do, we can just suck this year. But if you really lose that redshirt year, we'd love to have you in there. Rudolph says, put me in. But he goes in there, rips it, wins three straight games, takes them to a bowl, and they win the bowl game. But he's like, man, that kid just burned the year that they didn't have to. And, he's like, so kudos to him, but it's horrible to, put them in the position to have to make that decision. Anything that gives flexibility toward the student athlete, I think, is a great thing. So this is one of those where, it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Yeah, but also what it allow you to do, Josh and John, is that Ganji's a senior this year. So they get to evaluate
Carson Strong.
Exactly, John. That's my exact point. Yep. He gets to come in into four games and play in blowout situations where he might get to play an entire half of football.
What a great name for this area in Northern Nevada, Carson Strong.
Yeah. So with that, I mean,
hashtag.
So what I'm saying is he gets to come in, play against D1 competition, maybe in mop-up duty, and not lose his eligibility.
And there's strategy. If you're an SEC team, you can hold these guys back for the end of the season. These dudes that you know are going to be contributors. I liked it all the way around, and Josh made the perfect point of anything that gives the student athlete a little more leeway, a little more freedom.
That's fair. I agree with that. I cannot disagree with that. I like the rule. I really do. And it goes back to what you said, John.
I would have been satisfied with two. Four, I was impressed.
Fantastic.
With. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you can play in four games and still redshirt.
Yeah.
It's not once you hit the fourth game, you have to redshirt. Is that correct?
Correct. You can play in four. Once you hit that five, that's gone. Mm-hmm. So you can play in four games.
And
that's
teams
awesome.
Like Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and they already know what they have in the cupboard. You know, they know they got all these you know, five-star recruits. But some of these, and Mason Rudolph, you know, even in that situation, you know, Oklahoma State, really not knowing what they had, Josh, and all of a sudden he comes in. Some guys just they play better in games than they practice. It's a true fact.
And he was a five-star kid, but there's a big jump to Division I. And like I said, they actually had good playmakers. It just proves the other quarterbacks were, you know, inferior. But if you saw him start, too, actually his first start was against Baylor, which they lost. But Baylor was just fantastic.
Yeah.
But then he won the last three, again, to get the bowl eligible. And you could just see, this team that couldn't get – I mean, this team, I think that same year, they were, like, shut out by West Virginia, the worst Oklahoma State offense you've ever seen. And suddenly they came alive and looked like the real Cowboys. And it was just because of this kid, a five-star talent who was legit on the next level.
And he's probably going to be an NFL Hall of Famer. Don't you think?
Well, you know, wouldn't it surprise me if he's the best out of the ones – of all the quarterback classes this year, if Rudolph ends up being the best, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm in.
John, I actually thought about asking you this question.
Yeah.
Do you think that Rudolph and Landry, they talk, or do you think they look at each other and hate each other?
I think they hate each other. And I think it's coming from Mason.
Yeah.
So, Landry doesn't know what the hell is going on around him. But.
So what Jay's talking about being a Steelers fan, he hit the two backup quarterbacks for the Steelers.
Well, Josh Dobbs is in there, too.
I know, but you have an Oklahoma guy, an Oklahoma State guy. And you know the hatred
there's
that runs.
Heat. I guarantee there's heat.
Yeah. So absolutely crazy. Yeah. So we have about a minute before we have to go off the traffic. So I'm gonna nail you guys down on three questions.
Okay.
Pack win total 5.5 over or under?
Over. They win seven games.
All right. Niners win total 9 over or under?
Under. They win 8 games.
All right. And the Raiders win total. Let's just make it an even 8.
Over. They win 9.
9. All right. So over, under, over.
Yes.
Josh, Pack 5.5.
Over. I think at least 6-6.
All right. Niners 9.
That's under or a push.
Okay, so you put your money on the under.
Yeah.
The Raiders at 8.
You know, I like that one over.
All right. Good. You know, we're actually all going to agree on these because I do like the I think the Pack gets there pretty easily. I think they have the sixth win before they even get to Vegas. I like the Niners to probably – I can't see the Niners, you know, winning 10 games quite yet, maybe next year. So I would bet – I'd rather have 9 and, you know, under than that. And I think the – man, I've sneaky suspicions that the Raiders – are going to win 10 games this year. So with that being said, we have to head off the traffic here shortly. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the Raiders game that kicks off in just a little bit. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. I'm Kenny B, your host. Been talking a whole lot about football as week one of the preseason. You know, most of the games are through right now. Jets, is it still 10-0 Jets?
17.
17?
Sam Darnold with the two-minute warning. Drive down the field and a touchdown.
Are you serious? So the Jets
are a believer now?
No.
Jets are over the Falcons right now, beating the Falcons up 17-0. Still a second half to play.
Did they beat the Falcons last year?
In the regular season?
I believe they did.
Oh, look at Teddy Bridgewater's coming in.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater was in.
Look at this
I'm glad this guy's coming back.
I love Teddy Bridgewater.
Little Teddy B. Raiders play tonight, Josh. Let's talk about that game a little bit. Raiders at home versus the Detroit Lions. Number was 2. I've seen it already get to 3, and I've seen the total at 37. I'm excited to see. I hope Derek Carr gets a series in, because I'm excited to see him out there and, you know, see where that's going to take us.
Yeah, I am too, Ken, but we'll see.
I think it looks like
down the depth chart, though, or whatever, you know, it appears the again, for like second, third quarters where the backups are in the most, the Lions might have the edge there. I like the Raiders more when it counts. The point being, like Monday night game, the first week of the season, where they're a home underdog to the Rams. I actually think I kind of like them there. I think the first real game is going to be insane. Tonight people will be excited and whatnot, but I kind of feel like this is a little inflated, like it should be more along the lines of a pick 'em. I'm thinking about, you know, taking the underdog.
Tonight?
Yeah.
The plus 3?
Yeah, just sometimes, too, you know how especially those 3 can really come in handy when you see a lot of games end like that first one did where there's like a potential tying touchdown. They go for 2 and you're safe either way. I like pocketing those points.
You really need to be aware of those 2-point conversions at this time because that'll kill you.
You probably see it at least 5 or 6 times now every preseason.
Yep.
I have a question, guys. How does Gruden weigh into this? Does Gruden come in to evaluate talent? Does he come in to get everybody behind him? Does he have enough maturity from being an ex-NFL coach to just say, listen, I'm here to evaluate talent, and does he need to win the game, in his opinion?
He doesn't need to win the game. I don't think he'll have any problem getting anyone behind him. He's John Gruden, you know. The problem is this NFL is much different than it was by the last time he was in it. So is his view of how things operate and how you do things, is it antiquated at this point? I don't think so, but who knows? It's I don't think he needs to win to quantify anything. It's August 10th, but I don't know. I'm kind of leery. I'm a big John Gruden fan, but I'm just kind of leery whole thing.
I'm agree with you. I'm going to have to agree with you there, John. Who was the steeler, the wide receiver that ended up going there?
Martavis Bryant,
you know, yes. And I heard the story. I went blank on his name. But I heard the story about he's having an extremely difficult time grasping the playbook of Gruden because there's so much verbiage in it, and so much unnecessary verbiage that he's absolutely lost out there. Absolutely lost out there. He just, you know, simple stuff that.
And here's the problem. Then he's going to have to smoke something to get his mind right, and then he's going to get suspended
again.
And it's a vicious cycle. But he's got all the talent in the world. Just tell him to run deep.
And go deep.
Yeah, go deep. But I don't know. I'm really interested to see the Raiders. I think they can win 12 games if everything breaks right, but I just don't – I don't know.
I'm
not a believer at this point.
But I am excited to see the Raiders play tonight for some reason. I'm excited to see how Gruden approaches the game. I'm excited to see if Derek Carr, if he takes any snaps, and you know, and see if he, in my opinion, passes my eyeball test. His drop backs, his follow through. Driving through the ball and things like that.
Yeah, and like I said, ultimately, I think they did the right thing. After all this time, 10 years Gruden's been away from it, so that's what it took. All those college and pro jobs. I mean, his name was thrown out there for everyone. He clearly could have had his pick of just about anything. It took this full circle thing with the Raiders to get him back in the fold. This is the perfect fit. It's not as if I think Gruden just has like the magic formula that throws the dust over his shoulder and the Raiders are in the Super Bowl. But he is the best guy to take him where they want to go. I don't think the game's passed him by. You're right. He could be difficult. Real disciplinarian with some of the players, but he's generally also seen as a real players coach. And to me, he's the type, I think, where
like
maybe
the whole Marquette King thing.
It may be a thing too where they end up paying out his contract. He can wear out his welcome after a while, just like a hard-nosed basketball coach. The Jeff Van Gundy of basketball comes to mind, where everyone, we want discipline, we want to be coached, but NBA players only like that for a few years, then they want the easy way. I think the same thing. I think the short-term impact Gruden will have will be immediately seen, where he's a great motivator and extractor of talent. And like I said, who knows, though, 5 or 6 years from now. Same thing happened with the Buccaneers. I mean, he got fired by the team he won the Super Bowl with, because after a few, they ended up 9-7 and out of the playoffs a couple years. Players were maybe tuning him out. But to bring him in there and sort of resurrect what they're doing before they move to Las Vegas, I still think this is, they could win the AFC West this year.
I always thought forever Gruden was tailor-made to be a big-time college football coach.
I was stunned that he always passed. Like one of those times,
Notre Dame,
I thought
Ohio
he might
State.
Take Tennessee. Right. I thought he was maybe just want to try his hand at the college game, take one of those huge, high-profile jobs. He never did.
I think he would have a Nick Saban effect on.
And he could have picked any opening he wanted, but never did.
Texas, obviously Ohio State with his Ohio roots.
USC.
He was on the Notre Dame staff. Yeah. I just thought, man, him at Notre Dame, what a tailor-made fit right there. But he's doing it his way. He didn't need to do what I want him to do.
I'm excited to see the Raiders take the field tonight. I'm not by any means a big follower of the Raiders or the Niners, but I need to see what I need to see, if that makes sense. Because what I see tonight is going to go a long way in a lot of opinions that I have moving forward.
I mean, really, it really does in week one. It formulates.
For me, it does.
It does? Okay.
Some of it does. I mean, it's not like I'm going to form every decision I have.
Of course.
But it doesn't factor much for me. I will see things that I will reflect on later in the year.
Except for, I guess, Tyrod Taylor last night.
I was impressed. Very impressed.
Yeah.
Very impressed.
Everybody's
talking about Baker Mayfield, but I was actually really impressed with the way he started. I really was. He hit some really good throws. And I want to see – I still need to see Derek throw the ball a little bit, just to see if they're forcing him back. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see any of the Colts snaps. I got to see the stats, so I'm curious if you know, if Andrew Luck was driving the ball or whether he was Peyton Manning floating the ball at the end of his career, if that makes sense. I mean, and that's those are the kind of things I want to see.
So. Ken, you're right. I mean, as far as your season-long handicapping goes, the glimpse you get in these games, those specific things are good to look at. Because like I said, by and large, so many, you know, 50% of the guys out there aren't going to make the final, you know, cut, the roster. There's a, you know, a whole lot to be gleaned from that. But a huge thing, like someone coming back like Andrew Luck, or as you mentioned, some of the other guys. I think it's cool to see the rookies. You never know, you know, the impact they're going to have in the regular season. But just to see what they look like in the NFL uniform against that speed or whatever. So that's what I do. I want to see, you know, Barkley carry it, Mayfield throw it. And like Sam Darnold right now, like those are glimpses, Lamar Jackson. Those are glimpses that are worthwhile that you can put in your memory bank.
Yes.
But like you said, also on the defensive side, a guy like Jalen Smith of the Cowboys basically missed 2 full years injured. They said he's faster than ever, whatever, but he's running around making all the tackles last night. So just to see, you know, someone on the comeback trail or a rookie and get them some live action, it's worthwhile.
Yeah, and it goes back to when we talk about quarterbacks, you know, playing, you know, a 16-week season, playing in 16 regular season games, you know, do they have the stamina, you know, when it comes to game 14 and 15, where's that arm strength? You know, especially for guys like Carr that, you know, missed a lot of, you know, not being able to throw. Andrew Luck, not being able to throw. I mean, is he gonna, you know, have 8-9 good weeks and then all of a sudden just, you know, his body just can't take it because he lost all those reps. He lost an entire year of reps. Maybe, probably, it's actually more for Andrew Luck.
Yeah, exactly. And so, this is the important thing, especially coming back, and it just remains to be seen, is Andrew Luck, you know, going to resurrect his career, or is he just sort of going to be one of those what might have been guys? A lot of people think he was overrated to begin with. He did lead them to an AFC title game within his first, you know, few years, but I guess he's just going to be like, yeah, get a bad injury and flamed out a little bit.
Andrew Luck to me is the prototype. It's the prototype quarterback.
If he would have stayed healthy, I absolutely agree with you, John. Yeah. I think that he was that good. I don't think he was
Stanford.
Overrated. I really thought that he could have been a Hall of Famer. Maybe
his
he gets
ability
it back.
To move.
Yeah,
his arm, his size. It's just
his intelligence.
Well, that's why I started with the Stanford. I mean, you don't just go to Stanford.
So with that, you know,
I tried. Trust me.
So going back to, you know, when we're talking about evaluating these preseason games, yeah, I do. I do take a lot out of these preseason games. I really do. You know, and let's say that, you know, I see something, you know, hype this year, and one of these quarterbacks might be starting next year, and we're looking at the season win total before the season starts, and I've already formed an opinion maybe because I saw this guy play 4 or 5 quarters this year where he's behind a starter the whole year this year, then he's going to get the starting job next year, and I can kind of say, he really didn't pass the eyeball test, or maybe he did pass the eyeball test.
Right.
And so I already have a predetermined opinion on the wager, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, or some of those fringe guys can be like, oh, this guy's undrafted or 7th round or whatever, but it's like the 3rd string running back playing the second half. He's really explosive, getting all these runs, and you're wondering, well, maybe he's just doing it against, you know, 3rd string defense. But that sticks in your mind. Like, no, this guy's powerful. You know what I mean? Then you hear about him the next year getting picked up by another team, and they're going to give him a shot. Maybe either a, you know, 2nd string or some significant carries. And it just sticks in your mind. Like, no, I saw that guy. He's got it.
For me, the one that sticks out is Willie Parker. Fast Willie Parker, undrafted out of North Carolina. And I remember watching him in the Steelers preseason. I'm like, who the hell is this?
True story.
Just burning people.
True story here. That his first year, I was in some fantasy leagues, and I said, John, because he's a Steeler fan, I go, I need to know about Willie Parker. And he says, he's the real deal. I took him in every league I had, and I won every league.
Honestly.
And it's from passing the eyeball test that John saw before he ever stepped on the field.
And that's what it is. Not knowing who this guy is. You know,
some RJ Perine. Let's talk.
Yeah.
I saw him at Oklahoma, but –
we thought he was going to be. Did he?
I didn't.
Does he still hold the NCAA record for yards in the game?
No, it got broke.
The next year. Yeah.
No, yeah. But I didn't think he was fast enough to make it in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And now here he is. He's fighting for a roster spot right now.
Uh-huh.
Because Joe Mixon was there. Like I'm saying, it's not Perine.
Yeah.
It's Joe Mixon
that
you guys need to start looking at.
But Perine had a decent year, right, with the Redskins.
Okay. But Josh, he's fighting. Well, he might make the. If guys would have stayed healthy, he would have been fighting for a roster spot.
Right.
And a lot of it is because of his ability to protect the ball.
Right.
So, real quick, Josh, we've got 2 more football games tomorrow. Let's get those out before we go to commercial break. Do you got your sheet?
Sure.
Big in.
Yeah.
Two more.
The other one was Vikings and preseason. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, Vikings Broncos in Denver.
What time's that kickoff?
6 p.m. Yeah, pick 'em 35 is your total.
Vikings Broncos tomorrow.
Yeah,
And then there's also the Chargers. Do you like – John, do you have any opinion on – what's the total in that game?
I don't have any opinion on any of this.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
You know what's interesting about Vikings-Broncos, it would be cool if this was regular season. Could be Case Keenum against his former team immediately,
yeah.
What's going on there. You know what's funny is the converse is true for this game, though, because Trevor Siemian was part of the trade that made that happen. He's now the backup to Kirk Cousins on the Vikings. So Trevor Siemian, who Broncos fans probably now aren't going to be wild about, he's going to be playing in front of them.
Where's
for the
Sam
Vikings
Redford?
For three quarters. Arizona.
That's right.
So that's the funny thing now. So now Broncos fans, you probably aren't real wild with how Siemian turned out. Get to watch him play again tomorrow for the opposition.
Before we get to the next game, Sam Bradford loves to throw the slot receiver. Larry Fitzgerald plays the slot. So if you're in fantasy, Larry Fitzgerald might have another huge
All right.
Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, and then so the Broncos, yeah, they are trying in Case Keenum, but Paxton Lynch, who's looking like a first-round bust, he's probably going to play the majority. So again, looking at these guys, but as the spring – training, the exhibition game depth goes, these teams have some pretty well-known names in the quarterback rotation.
And the next game is the Chargers-Cardinals. I kind of jumped. I should have just held off for my little fantasy tidbit right there. But the late game tomorrow, 7 p.m. kickoff. Looks
sure.
Like we got the Cardinals at home laying 2.5 to the Super Chargers.
The Chargers,
36.
Total 36, yep. And so that's another one, like we mentioned. So Sam Bradford, that is his landing spot, is Arizona. Josh Rosen, the rookie, he's probably going to play quite a bit. The Chargers. And who do they even have behind Rivers? I'm not sure. But it's looking like, again, Cardinals lost Bruce Arians. That's a whole new era for them with Carson Palmer retiring, Bruce Arians also retiring. They're kind of, say, starting from scratch, but it's a rebuilding process. And, for the season, I don't expect a whole lot out of them.
They still got that big running back coming back, Johnson. So, all right, that's all for last commercial break. This is Windmill Sports Show on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the Windmill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline and John the Hawk Stevens. Talked a lot about football. A lot of things going on in football right now. Everybody knows week one of the preseason, but William Hill also has all their football contests right now too, Josh. They have your Pro Pick'em contest, which it's a $25 entry fee, and it's year-long, 17 weeks, 15 selections a week, and there's no point spread. So basically it's $25 to enter.
Easy.
And all you have to do is, pick the winners each week with no point spread. There's a weekly prize and a yearly prize, Josh.
Yep. As you mentioned, Ken, that's one of the, most old school contests around where straight up winners, $25 a pop. It's worth having a card. It's one of those things where it seems like the odds against you winning are pretty big. But, hey, every week, someone, puts in the winning card, it's worth playing it. And then you have the college contest coming up too. It's a little higher stakes, the $500 entry fee college contest, where it's seven games against the spread for 10 weeks in the college. But that $25 entry, it's worth a shot because pretty big overlay there.
100% payback. 100% payback.
Kenny, that was like when you point at something for your cat.
And we're just I would assume that
if you want to know what's happening, why we're laughing.
Well, I know what you're laughing about, but I assume that when I'm pointing, hand me the rat card. I'm pointing right to it, and we're talking about it. Somebody would have figured it out.
Well, JJ, our board op, it's like when you point, and a cat is just looking at your finger, like, what do you want? So then I recognize it, and you pointed at me, and I was acting the same way. So Kenny gets disgusted and throws his headphones down. And
so what happened, listeners, is I wanted to make sure we got the information right. And right next to us, there's the rat card for the Pro Pick'em contest. And Josh and our board guys, right there within his elbow, could have got it. And so
yeah.
He's listening to us.
No.
He's listening to us diligently, like, oh, yeah.
And I've been like, hey, cat, it's right there.
Yeah, and I'm going, hey, I'm pointing to it. And, John, he's looking at my finger. Like,
yes,
that's what
exactly.
I'm talking about. Not what I'm pointing at. He's like,
oh, too far.
He's going, why is your finger okay? Oh, my God. Sorry, listeners. But anyways, grand prize, most winners, grand prize, $20,000, $7,500, and $2,500 for second and third. And then the weekly contest is where it's at, And, you win money there, too, Josh. It's absolutely, like I said, one-time entry fee, $300,000 in guaranteed cash and prizes, weekly and yearly winners.
You mentioned one of the things that they always have a good deal on is, buy four, get one free. If you're into that, it's worth keying them because one thing, I've only had one entry last year. I just try to stay solid. I figure a good overall record. It was the way to go, and my record was pretty decent most of the year. But to win that weekly one, your card's usually going to have to be a little off the beaten path, right? Where like those couple, 6-point underdogs that went out right. There's going to be a lot of 14-2s. I mean, to really run the board, you're going to have to sniff out a couple underdogs. To do so, give yourself the options. The 5 for 100, you can play with different combinations, and before you know it, you might hit one.
Let me give you the key to winning this, Josh, and this is the truth. I'll get you in the ballpark. If you bet just the favorites. just the favorites, and on pick'em games, take the home team. Go if you can go to covers.com, and you can look at NFL history trends and what percentage that is throughout the course of the year. 68%, 69%, 69.5%. Usually the winner of this contest is just slightly above that. When I mean slightly, you're talking about 69.5 versus 70.1. You're right. Talking about a handful of games. And so if you just use that philosophy and that theory when it comes to this contest, you can win it. Believe me, you can win it.
Yeah, that's why I think, Ken, it plays to when you have multiple cards, because I used to, again, I might use one where I say, I just want to be solid here. I want to make this the best record possible. Like you said, where you're just being logical, solid, and do it. And then have other ones where you don't care as much. Like I said, you're sort of playing for the weekly. When you get a little funky and it doesn't matter.
Exactly right.
Like, I don't care if the record's 500 on that one. Yep. I'm just trying to strike it rich in 1 week with all the crazy underdogs.
Yep.
But you're right. That's why if you really do get one entry, you're just kind of stuck because you just better.
You're playing well, you can play it two ways. You wanted to, if you have one entry, you're probably starting out playing season long, but when you get out, you just switch it to weekly. That's the reason you should have at least two entries, and one is always for the yearly, and one is always for the weekly, where you have the upsets. And if you're playing the weekly, always bet the favorite in the last game, listeners. So you can, if you get to a point, you can come in and find out the what ifs, and you can always take the dog in the last game and get a nice middle.
Yep. Like you said, at least two.
What are you smiling about over here?
At least two, so you can diversify the strategies. Like I said, if you went for the five where you get one free, then even more so, because you might be trying to win on two cards, but that's where you can kind of flip a coin. And you're really stuck on the pick'em or the three-point spread games. You can kind of key those, reverse them, and then one of them, like, all right, you lose them on one card, you hit them on the other.
Yep. Yeah. So that's wise advice.
All right.
You got to answer that?
I know who it is. It's one of our big players. Josh, real quick, and the college contest, which, you've already entered, and I'm going to enter, and we always already have a challenge up from one of our listeners where we're each going to throw up some money, and the best record's going to win that. And once we get everybody into the contest, we'll all have our little handles. You can actually follow us. I mean, I'm assuming that it's like the super contest. Each week you could go in and you can see where all the standings are and stuff like that. And you can't really, change anything. I mean, the wins are right there. The totals, the wins. So, yeah.
No, you're right, but William Hill's real good about posting it. You're right. After the college games happen, I'd say it's usually Tuesday at the latest, but they post the updated records and whatever your team name is. I mean, they'll have it out there. You can have a team name alias, but I never do. I just use my name. So you could go ahead and public record, see how good or bad I'm doing. I've never shied away from people. People could see that.
It's good.
And that's still open for signups, too. That's a $500 entry fee to that one. Just the college games, Josh. And you pick seven games each week versus the spread.
Yeah, and I love a good spread challenge. One, I kind of like the higher buy-in. To me, it's similar to big buy-in poker tournaments. Like, the skill level. There's a skill involved. I like playing against other people who are willing to put up that much to test their handicapping skills. In fact, that's college and handicapping and seven games a week. It's sweet. I love that contest.
Do you have any more of the free NFL?
I do.
Pick 'em?
I do. The Pro Pick'em contest, we do have some free entries. We gave away a few. I mailed them out. I think everybody got them. They never said thank you.
Did you get one to Joe Lynn, my old high school friend?
I don't know who I mailed them out to. So
okay, I think you did.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Everybody's going, how do we get a free one? Like us on Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Show us a ticket or something. I mean, separate yourself. I mean, I got...
Stop by the show and talk to us.
Yeah, I got Jonathan James over here constantly blowing me up every week during the show. Basically, he doesn't like anything I have to say. He thinks the Pack's going to win one game.
Yes.
Agree with me. He did agree with me, through our Facebook page that he thinks the Niners, in his words, listeners, not mine, the Niners are garbage. He says they're not even going to sniff the nine.
We probably need to have him on the show at some point.
We should. Well, John,
Josh and he have a huge rivalry already.
I was going to say, apparently he doesn't like my UFC analysis at all.
And with that being said, we invite people on the show all the time, and they're all up, they're all there until the day of the show, then something miraculously happens.
We have a seat open for, I don't know where the other guy is, but we have a seat open, so anytime you want to come down and challenge us, let's do it.
Listen to this open mic challenge.
Let us know. I'd love it. Listen, Dodger fans, you got a problem with me? Talk to me.
Let's talk about that. Dodgers might not make the playoffs. Jensen goes on the DL today.
Regular heartbeat, man. I don't like that.
Well, I don't like it for him either.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm just saying, Arizona's taking, right there. They slightly took over the lead in the National League West right now.
We have a listener that's just asking me for one. I don't know. It's up to you, Ken.
Who is it?
Tommy the Pooh, Tommy Thompson.
Let me see. Tommy the Pooh. Let me think. Tommy, are you guys playing fantasy this
He's
year?
He's about to be your route driver, so.
All right, yeah. Tommy, are you and Shannon playing fantasy this year? That's I need to know that. So.
Yeah, he needs to know that. Before any answer, yeah. we need that one, Tommy.
Tommy the Pooh. So, anyways, Josh, go ahead.
Well, Ken, you alluded to how you're unaware of the recipients. You mailed some of those out, yeah, because no one's acknowledged it. That's just a little, life lesson right there, basic courtesy. Someone can send you out a free gift card for something. Be nice to give them a shout out. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little thank you. Send something to the Facebook page or text Ken if you know his number, whatever.
Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. And why is Tommy texting you asking? I'm the one that has the entry fees.
Because he's afraid of you.
Okay. He is a poop.
Flat out. Because he's wearing just a red T-shirt and nothing else, eating them out of a jar of honey.
I'm Tigger. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. And you can follow Josh Nagel, too, at JoshNagel1 on Twitter and also on Sportsline. Josh has in-depth stories weekly. I mean, his job, he's a sports writer. So, Josh, he puts his opinions out there on paper, everybody. It's not like he's just here just, running his mouth. And he wagers, too. He posts some of his tickets, Josh has been known to, make some $500 three- and four-teamers, if he really likes stuff, especially on UFC and boxing, Josh.
Yeah.
Real quick, where's Canelo? Where's Canelo? Look, all of a sudden, Facebook is fired. Look at this.
Here we go.
Everybody wants $25 free entries. Josh.
You were mentioning, Triple G and Canelo? Is that what you said? Yeah, last I looked at it today, it's the same as it was. It's looking like Triple G's minus 160 with Canelo plus 140.
I'm taking Canelo, bro.
I'm still
you're not going to talk me out of it.
I'm interested in seeing the fight. But, again, I said the longer it goes on for the rematch, the less I like Triple G. He's just getting a little bit older.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Look at this. Man, everybody, he goes, you're killing me, not garbage. You said overrated, not garbage. Jonathan James, you did. And he's also saying he's accepting your invite. Adamitas. Is that how you say it?
I don't know. Adamitas, I think.
Adamitas. That's, I don't know. And he's going to sit right next to you.
Have him come. Sit down. Well, I gotta be a buffer between me and Josh because they're going to go UFC on each other, I think.
You're going to swing the big paw backhand if he gets out of line?
No, I'm going to get out of the way and let them duke it out. You kidding me?
Like the Cam Newton thing where he just thrust the guy out of the way.
Yeah,
no doubt. What do you think about that, Josh?
Both of them were kind of childish. It's one of those things that, who are you going to take in that battle? I mean, the guy probably should not have criticized Cam Newton. Cam going after him was stupid, too. But, I mean, it's true. By and large, between the two of them, Benjamin's seen as more of the underachiever.
But
so
he should have kept his mouth shut. But I do like Cam kind of just going to him man-to-man and doing that.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it that way. I like Cam.
Exactly. So
I'm
it's
the
not,
biggest
so it's
Cam
not,
apologist
not,
on
not
this
just
show.
A Twitter fight forever.
Yeah, I know it. It's better than a Twitter slap fight. Kenny, what are you smiling about?
Matt Lucero said, forget Tommy the Pooh, give it to me. So, Lucina Lucero.
Lucero?
Lucero, excuse me, Matty. So,
that's a pillow fight right there, Lucero and Tommy Thompson.
So make sure you do all your wagering with William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile app at www.williamhill.us. It's a full service sports betting mobile app right at your fingertips. You can put your cash in there. You never have to leave the couch. Multi sport parlays, which John the Hawk Stevens does. Pro picking contest, up and swinging. College contest, up and swinging. So many things going on. And the progressive, we didn't talk about that. It's top 60,000. $5 wager. I can't wait for that. So see you next week on ESPN. 94.5 FM.
Boom.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.